Kind of happier and lighter music to start this program. We should have something more deadly sounding because Larry Mueller here, by the way, because we're talking about death cap mushrooms. And we've got a couple of researchers in Wisconsin who are taking a look at the very poisonous fungus and monitoring their spread. And we have them here in our state. Great to have Nancy Keller with us. She's the Robert L. Metzenberg and Kenneth B. Raper, Professor of Mycology at UW-Madison. Nancy, welcome.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's good to be on. Okay.
Great to have you with us. Ann Pringle, our other guest, is the Rubenstein Professor of Botany and Bacteriology at UW-Madison. Ann, good to see you here, too.
Lovely to be here.
As we talk with our experts, I hope you'll join in, want to hear from you. Are you a mushroom forager? Tell us how you identify the mushrooms that you capture, maybe. Or maybe you can share if you've seen a death cap mushroom in Wisconsin. They're not, to me, they look a lot like other mushrooms. That's the problem. You won't find me out there looking for them, for sure. Number to call, though, to join in is 800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Let's do a little Mycology 101 just to start with here. Fungi are not animals. They're not plants.
Nope.
No.
And what are they?
They are their own kingdom. But you have reason if you're listening and you're confused on that point, because when many of us went to high school, we would have learned that there were two kingdoms, plants and animals, and you would have learned of fungi as plants. In fact, I'm in a botany department, and I'm in a botany department, even though I don't study plants directly, because botany historically has been the discipline that encompasses both plants and fungi and algae and a few other things too, like slime molds. But Larry, I want to pick up on one of the things that you just talked about. We actually don't have death cap mushrooms in Wisconsin.
Oh, I thought we did.
No, we don't. But we, you have reason for thinking that, because a part of what I study is patterns of biodiversity on Earth. And when you study fungal biodiversity, often the knowledge is inadequate. And so one of the things that has happened in our state and other states is that we've given European names to our local biodiversity. And so we can find records of death caps in Wisconsin, but it's not true. They aren't right. They were mislabeled. So you can see people. We do have deadly poisonous mushrooms called destroying angels, but no death caps.
But could they come, Nancy? Could they come?
Of course they could. We hope not. It would take some human intervention, I believe, to bring them here.
Correct.
Yeah, so.
Where are they? They're in California.
Yeah, they're really spreading along the West Coast and the East Coast.
But they could creep their way toward us.
They're in Idaho. I think Nancy's right. It's more likely that they would be brought here by a human, perhaps unwittingly, as they moved a plant around in the soil that was with the plant. You know, of course, because anytime you plant a potted plant, you plant all the microbes that are with the soil.
I think I read that in California they figure it came from tree roots, from trees that had been moved from one place.
That's right.
So, how many kinds of fungi do we have here in Wisconsin?
Well, we think that we would have names for about 5% of the biodiversity that we see. So most often when you're, probability would be that most often when you culture a fungus out of the soil or collect it, it may have a name, but most likely it wouldn't have a name. Or as we've just talked about, it might have the wrong name. There's a lot of work to do.
Yeah. And how many do we have? We have a number of edibles. How many edibles do we have in the state that we know of?
That would be Anne. She's the person for these ones.
I don't know the answer to that question, actually. I'm not so, maybe because I work with deadly poisonous mushrooms, I'm not as interested in foraging as most of the people that I know that are into fungi. But the reason Nancy and I are working together is because we're really interested in this question of, you know, the fundamental aspects. How many species are there? How are they patterned on Earth? How are they spreading? And one of the things that we think is that, so I didn't choose to work with death caps because they're deadly poisonous. I've always thought that was kind of it annoyed me as an aspect of their biology. But it turns out it could be really important to this question of, are they ever going to get to Wisconsin or how are they spreading? And I'm going to turn it over to Nancy for that.
Yeah. Sure. So I think Anne and I are a very good team here. My focus is more on the metabolites that fungi make. A lot of people want to call them toxins. They may be toxic or not to some organism. You don't know until you do some of the testing. So this really interesting challenge of how the death cap got to California, one thing we became interested in working with Anne is we wanted to explore the different, they're called secondary metabolites that the fungus makes. So the toxins that we know about in death cap are secondary metabolites, the ones that when you eat, if you don't, could kill you, certainly make you ill. But we knew there was a lot more than simply the known toxins. So we started working with Anne and some other collaborators on sequencing the genomes of a lot of different death caps. There's secrets in the DNA, which you can look at, and you can know if there's going to be a new type of secondary metabolite or possible toxin. And it's been really exciting because we found that we found a new chemicals in the California death caps that were different, some of them from the European isolates that they presumably came from at one time. And we've seen different expression of these new products in the Californian mushrooms that are not expressed the same way in Europe.
So the let's say the same mushroom comes over from Europe, the death cap, and it winds up in California, but then it alters its own makeup?
It evolves.
It evolves.
We tend to think of evolution, or often many of us think of evolution as a quite slow process, but it turns out if you take an organism from one habitat and you chuck it in another habitat and it thrives, how it thrives might have to do with how it's adapting to the new environment and all the new pressures that there are in that new environment.
So describe what these death caps look like. They look like a mushroom. They're kind of a, maybe a light tan on the top, tannish on top, or are they?
Olive colors.
Olive is more like it?
To me, they're the paradigm mushroom. Maybe Amanita muscaria, which is that famous.
One.
Yeah, that's the cute one. It's the Mario Brothers mushroom. It's red and it has white spots. And Nancy and I have done another paper recently with a whole team, a collaborative team from South Africa and Wisconsin and a few other states in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And that mushroom, the paradigm one, is called the fly agaric. But guess what? It doesn't really seem to kill flies. And instead, it seems to kill worms.
Well, maybe it killed flies where it was somewhere else.
It doesn't seem to. We looked at the European ones, too.
No, my hypothesis is that flies like it because some nematodes kill flies. And so if the fly is in this mushroom, muscaria, it might be protected from the predatory worms. We don't know that. It's fun to think about, though.
Fun to think about. Ken and Viola has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Ken.
Hi. Hey. This is not directly on subject, but it's. I have a question about a fungus called sweet knot. What is it? Globifomes gravulans or something like that.
Huh.
My understanding is that it's quite rare, and very little is known about it. And I found a bunch of them growing on tapping trees this spring for syruping. I found a bunch on a maple tree. They appear to be from last year, but I'm hopeful that more will appear this year. And I guess if they are unusual, do you or anybody at the UW have an interest in specimens and maybe live ones that might be produced this year?
You know, I don't need specimens of that, but I'm just looking it up to be honest because I haven't heard of it before, and it does look really like a super cool mushroom. And you know, it's so interesting. Mushrooms are like that, right? They're the visible structure of a much larger hidden body. Mm-hmm. So that's just like the flower in a way of your, you know, peony bush, and the rest of the bush, so to speak, is hidden in the ground, hidden in the wood of the maple tree. Anyway, long story short, if you haven't heard of a site called Mushroom Observer, it's really easy to, it's like iNaturalist, but it's a little bit more geared towards mycologists and mushroom people of all sorts. If you put a photo up there, if there's someone looking for it, they'll reach out to you. And it's really fun to do that. Mushroom and Observer.
Mushroom Observer. Can get your photo up on Mushroom Observer, yeah, and see what happens.
Yeah.
And let me know. Or let us know. That'd be that's pretty cool. Thanks a lot for calling, Ken. Appreciate it. What is it? The Avenger, the Nasty Avenger, whatever it is. That, what does that one look like?
Destroying Angel?
Yeah. Destroying Angel.
It's funny you say that. I keep calling it the Avenging Angel. It's the Destroying Angel.
What the heck does that look like?
Oh, that's a beautiful, it's actually more than one species, that common name, as so often happens in mycology. We're still working out the names, but the Destroying Angel refers to a complex of species. Some are undescribed, and they are alabaster shining white in the forest. Mm. And they're so luminous that they do look like an angel on the forest floor when you see them. They're very beautiful, and they are as deadly as death caps.
Yeah, okay, how do they kill you? Death caps go after your kidney and...
Isn't it the same? It's a similar toxin.
It is.
Also, you hear of more deaths from death cap than the destroying angel, right?
You do, yeah. Yeah, the destroying angels, you know, the death caps, one of the features of an invasive species is it can often be quite abundant. And so I think, and they're also, yeah, they're places where people hike a lot and foragers find them more frequently. Mm.
Dennis in Two Rivers, kind of relating to this, has sent us an email. Would people be affected or infected by pickling and disposal of poisonous fungi? Picking, not pickling.
Oh, okay.
Picking and disposing.
I handle death caps all the time. One could argue that has altered my chemistry. No. There's no danger in handling a poisonous mushroom, but I just say the same to everyone, you know, wash your hands before you eat. But handling it should be okay. It's to die from it, you actually have to eat it.
Oh, and you definitely don't want to eat it.
Definitely not.
Or pickle it. I know that was a typo. Yeah. There. Everybody's thinking, oh, man, can you pickle these? Okay, yeah, okay.
Well, you can pickle mushrooms, I guess, the ones you want to eat.
You can. Yeah, definitely.
There's a piece by the UW Vet School that warns pet owners to watch for death cap mushrooms in Wisconsin. They're wondering, what might organizations or people think that we have death cap mushrooms, or why do these organizations or people think we have death cap mushrooms in the state? Is there any other mushroom that could go by death cap?
No, there's no other organism that would have the name death cap. That common name is very specifically Amanita phalloides. But why people think that is also a really interesting question about biodiversity. In the ways that we know our local plants, often we do not know our local fungi. And so we seek for names on the internet or wherever we seek for them, and it's very easy to make connections that that aren't quite right. And the death cap is so famous, and it gets blamed for so many deaths, and rightly so. But I think often what happens is there are lots of poisonous mushrooms, as it turns out. And there are lots of Amanitas in Wisconsin. So, and there are other mushrooms that are not even in that same genus that could also kill you. I don't understand it. Nancy's a dog owner. Maybe she can explain it.
No, I don't know why, but it's true. Many dogs like mushrooms, and many, they may not kill you, what would make the dog very sick.
Well, you don't want to. I think if I was out with my dog, I would be trying to keep the dog from eating mushrooms.
That's the way to go, right?
John wants to know, are there psychedelic mushrooms that are native to Wisconsin? I'm sure purely for interest, Go ahead. Nancy? Yeah.
Muscaria. Related. And Anne is really the taxonomist here, but there's Ammonida muscaria-like. I know Anne's group is trying to get that taxonomy down. But those, they do produce compounds that are hallucinogenic. There's interest in them and developing them, sort of like psilocybin, into maybe meds that could help depression or addictions to methamphetamines, et cetera. Yeah. Yeah, we're interested in exploring that chemistry.
Mm. Okay, so if we don't have the actual death caps here, why are we studying them?
Because the world is changing.
Yeah.
And understanding how the world is changing is about more than understanding how animals or humans are changing. It's about the bulk of Earth's biodiversity is not animal and is actually not plant either. The bulk of Earth's biodiversity seems hidden often to humans in microbes. And so the death cap is a tool to try to tell a lot of stories that help people to understand how the world is changing.
Yeah.
I'll add another reason for exploring that from the chemistry prospect. So a lot of our drugs that we use are natural products from fungi. So finding something new, in fact, as we did with the death caps in California, some of those compounds maybe could have some bioactivity that could be useful in some pharmaceutical development in the future.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mark in Sussex has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Mark.
Hi, great show as usual.
Thank you.
I was wondering if for a new person doing mushrooming, taking spore prints is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It actually would make a nice framed picture. That's all I was going to say.
I totally agree with you. They're so beautiful, and you're so right. That's one of the first characters that you want to look for when you're identifying a mushroom for the first time, is you want to take the cap of that mushroom, and you want to set it down on a piece of paper, maybe put a cup over it to calm the air currents around it, and you just leave it for a few hours, and all the spores drop out. It's very fun. It's a very fun activity.
So what are you left with then?
You're left with what's called a spore print, and it's a beautiful pattern. It's a pattern.
Color, too.
Yeah, color, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's lovely.
And does it stick to the paper so you can put it up on the wall?
Yep. Or you could spray it with a little hairspray if you want to, like, fix them. Then it's not so great for science anymore, but it's great for art.
You're talking to a guy that doesn't need hairspray.
You can buy a bottle just for your spore.
I guess I could buy a can of it.
Yeah, no, mushrooms are gorgeous.
Well, they are pretty.
Yeah,
there's
they are.
Some that are really brightly colored in the state. There's one that's a bright orange.
Yeah, there's the muscaria. Our local muscaria can be a bright orange sometimes, more yellow.
The jack-o'-lantern is here too.
Yeah,
right?
Jack-o'-lanterns are here. Yeah, yep. They're beautiful.
They are beautiful. Don't eat them.
Don't eat them. Yeah, there's bright yellow ones. There's green ones. There's blue-green ones. There's blue-green ones that infect wood and make the wood blue-green for woodworkers.
Mark? Oh, yeah, the pigments are used in dyes for wool. And,
Yeah, knitters. If you're a knitter out there, you can dye your yarn with the lichens and fungi. It's beautiful.
Mark in Wisconsin Dells has something that I was going to actually bring up, but Mark, why don't you bring it up? Go ahead.
Okay, I was just wondering if the death cap mushroom is the one that's used in Beef Wellington in Australia.
Yes,
yes, yes.
I wondered if that was going to come up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's sort of funny you ask that because some of my family lives in Australia, and I happened to be visiting them during that whole incident.
It was a woman who fed her family Beef Wellington with the
death cap,
with the purpose of getting rid of three of them.
Yeah, she murdered them.
She did, and she did it well.
Yeah, they're dead.
They're dead. Oh,
how
God.
Did? Yeah, you wonder. I suppose she thought that people wouldn't be able to figure it out.
But they're tasty. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I don't know from personal experience, but people who eat them, it's a long and lingering and very painful death. And people, while they're lingering, have talked about what they taste like, and apparently, they are delicious.
So there's some things. I mean. Things that we should be careful about. Maybe you have some tips for those of us who want to try mushroom foraging.
Yes, the most important advice is don't try to figure it out on your own. It's tricky, and there's a lot of information that's not good out there. So join a club. There's a Madison Mycological Club. There's a Wisconsin Mycological Club. They offer what's called a foray. When you go out on basically a hike collecting mushrooms, it's called a foray. So go with people who know what they're doing. And, you know, people who collect mushrooms and study fungi are you know, by nature generous and willing to share their knowledge. So, you know, get with some people who are happy to show you around.
And there's some mushroom hunting coming up, I would say, in the next month or so here.
Yes, it is morel
for the
morels season.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's morel season, and that's one. I mean, there is a false morel.
There is a false morel. That's one. Again, you know, don't listen to me and then try to do it. Be with someone as you forage if you've never foraged for morels before. But a false morel, if you cut it in half, it has a hollow stem, technically called a stipe. But it.
Whereas the true morels don't.
Yeah.
Even I, who am not a mushroom hunter, do feel pretty secure with morels.
Yeah.
But there is one point to consider with morels. I had a friend who hadn't eaten and got a bunch of morel mushroom, you know, like a pound, and ate the whole pound.
Ooh.
And that got very sick.
Yeah.
Because you can eat. I mean, there's too much of a good thing. That's
what it
is. You also have to cook your morels well.
Yes.
That's one thing about a morel. You shouldn't pickle those, for example, I don't think. Actually, I walk it back. I'm not sure about pickling, but I do know that you have to treat morels. You can't eat them raw. And if you don't cook them well enough, then you can make yourself sick.
That's with a couple of mushrooms you have to cook. I can't remember the other ones. Yeah.
In general, a lot of people I know are not a fan of raw mushrooms. For various reasons, yeah.
I like raw mushrooms.
Do you?
But the button ones you buy.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, at the grocery store. You can slice those up and put them in a salad.
Right, yeah.
And they work really well. What do you hope for your research and your work? I mean, in this last minute here,
I hope for people to learn about the world in a different way than just the panda bear. Though I love pandas, there's more to the world than fuzzy mammals.
That's a good one. That's a good one. You know what? I agree with that. People should know more about fungi. It's sort of, even in biology classes, it's ignored.
Yeah.
You know? And wow, there's so many wonderful fungi around us. And without them, well, we'd be buried under dead trees.
True.
But yeah.
And then Nancy and I are going to find the cure for cancer. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Actually, addiction. I more want to find the cure for addiction.
Yeah, I think that we have a better chance there. That's potential.
Well, you guys are so stern and nose to the grindstone types. Ha ha. I think this was fun. It's been a pleasure talking with you. The half hour flew, and I hope we can do this again down the road. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Larry.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
It's been a lot of fun. Ann Pringle is the professor of botany and bacteriology at UW-Madison. Nancy Keller, the professor of mycology at UW-Madison. Fun talking with them about fungi. Before the show, we were talking about Merlin Sheldrake's book, Entangled Life, and I've got to get my copy of that out. It's somewhere, and look at it again, because it can be a fun topic. Coming up, we're going to take a look at wood turtles, and we've got a representative from the DNR to do that.